You are listening to an Emmanuel Community Church podcast. For more sermons or information about the church, visit our website at www.emmanuelcommunity.org.
Well, good morning, church. Believe it or not, we are 6 weeks into this series we're calling Cultivating Community, and we're drawing to a close. We have one more week next week, but this week, we're covering our last key to community. Now, if you haven't been tracking with us, or even if you have, maybe you need the reminder of why we're doing all this plant stuff. Because we're writing this analogy, this idea that, look, every plant has a couple key things it needs to be healthy. There's a huge diversity of plants out there, and if you've ever tried to grow plants, you know that specific plants do have specific needs, that if you don't understand them, they're not gonna do well, right? And so it bears that out that, to be a good farmer or a good plant manager, you're gonna be somebody who understands that there's nuance, but at the core of it, there's four key things every plant on the planet needs to survive. Things like nutrients, air, sunlight, and water, right? And what we're saying is that Christian community is really similar to that. Different cultures, different groups, makeups, different personality types. Yeah, there's a lot of specific things we need to be aware of for a group of people to thrive together in Christian community. But we so often get hung up on those things as though that's all that really matters. When in reality, we're gonna argue biblically, there are six key things that if we can get those right, we've at least got the basics of what any group of people in any culture at any time needs in order to be a basically healthy community group. And so we've been unpacking six keys to community. And today we're going to unpack our last key. And the key that we're going to talk about today is this, that everyone in that group is committed to be someone who engages missionally, that we engage missionally. And I'm going to try to help you see that all of the other keys we've been talking about, as critical as they are actually pointing to and setting us up for this one. I'm gonna argue that this is actually the measure of whether your group is healthy, not the question of whether I feel like I belong, not the question of whether my loneliness problem is solved or that I like these people, but actually your health. All of those things I do think tend to get sorted out as we fulfill God's call for us in community with these keys. But the measure of a healthy group is whether that group is a group of people that together engages missionally in what we're called to be and do as believers, to be disciples who make disciples. That's what I want to unpack with you this morning in this final key to community. And we're going to cover some really familiar territory if you've been with us, especially since January when we did our This Is Us series and we talked about who we are. That our purpose is to be disciples who make disciples. And we unpacked a bunch of core values. One of them was that we are missional, which means we make disciples both locally and globally. We unpacked a couple of passages we're gonna revisit today. And we're gonna go a little bit light on them. And you might be tempted to think, well, been there, done that, and have your eyes roll back in this conversation. Why are we reviewing? I already know this, give me something new. And I'm gonna say, actually, what we're doing is we're gonna add a layer to the conversations we've already had, that if you miss it, I would say you're missing the whole thing. All right, we're gonna add some layers to this conversation. So stay tuned, stay focused, and jump in with me. What we're gonna do is we're gonna unpack the conversation in three moves like usual: the invitation, the cultivation, and the preservation. Invitation, God's call to us from the word to be people who engage missionally. Cultivation, how do we become those kind of people? What are some things we can learn there? And preservation, how do we do that over the long haul? What are some skills and habits and structures we could build into our lives to embody this value as individuals in a group? So that's where we're headed today. If you got your notes, let's jump into the invitation starting in Matthew 28, 19 and 20, the Great Commission. What I hope is becoming a really familiar passage for us here at Emmanuel. Let's read it together. Matthew 28, 19. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. Now, if you were tracking with us back in January, specifically January 11 and 12, you heard us unpack this passage along with a few other passages to help you understand our purpose as a church. And we did a lot of work there. And if you weren't with us, let me encourage you to go back. Again, January 12th on our website, you can listen to that message as we unpack this text in more depth. But today, I just want to make one simple observation that I think is critical about this text, one that maybe you're going to get sick of me saying about Scripture over and over again. And here's the simple observation, that every verb is plural in this verse. Every verb is in the plural. It's not singular saying you specifically, individually, go and make disciples. It's all y'all. Y'all, while y'all are going, make disciples. Make disciples is actually a plural verb. Y'all make disciples. Teaching is actually a plural verb. Y'all teach. All right? Every pronoun in there, the yous that you see, all that I've commanded you, it's actually a y'all. All right, so this is what I want you to see is, well, yes, every individual hearing this in that room recognized Jesus was commanding them as individuals to go. But what's so inherent, what's baked into Scripture, if you have eyes to see it, it's obvious, is that it's always y'all. It's always a group. This is a collective command and a collaborative mission. That's what I want you to see. I mean, and if you're not convinced from this text, go to Luke 10, where you see Jesus send out 70 disciples, not on their own, but two by two. Go to Acts and just follow those people who heard this command from Jesus and who did not apply it alone. They went together. I mean, you'll see over and over groups of people, and the disciples that they make in the book of Acts, like Timothy, right? Like Mark, guess what they do? They go and work together with other disciples in close relationship, not just professional relationship, like close up in your face relationship, and they make disciples. And if you get into church history, you'll see them doing the same thing. All right? And so the pattern in Scripture, the command is that this commission is a collaborative pursuit. So if you're taking notes, all believers are collectively commanded to be deeply invested in making disciples. As individuals, we embody that passion and that mission, but we play it out in relationship with others. So the question to ask ourselves is this: am I making disciples alongside people who are making disciples? Is my concept of my calling collective? It's a good question. It's one that spurs me on, which takes us now to this issue of cultivation. If that's the invitation, to be people who experience this mission, who play it out in relationship with other people, i.e. in many ways, but also including community groups, then how do I do this? What does this look like to start working it out? Well, let me take you to Hebrews 10:24. Hebrews 10:24 and 25. Now, to give you a little context, the writer of Hebrews has made this case in chapters 1 through 9 and a little bit of 10 that Jesus is better than anything else that might tempt us to walk away. Right? He's made this incredible case of the gospel, some of the most beautiful language about Jesus and his ministry in our hearts and our lives in the entire Bible. And now he's shifting to like application. What do we do? If we've really bought this idea that Jesus is Lord, he is better than everything and I want to follow him, what do I do? And he's giving a bunch of ideas, practical ideas here, including what he says in verse 24. He says this: let us consider how to stir up, underline that, stir up one another to love and good works. And he explains how we do that in verse 25. He says, this is how you stir one another up, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but instead encouraging one another, all the more as you see the day drawing near. So there's two sort of verbs there. Stir one another up by not neglecting to meet together and actively encouraging one another. And let me unpack that for you. All right? To stir up. The Greek word behind stir up is paroxysmos. And if you are a nerd like me who likes words, maybe you hear in that word the word paroxysm. All right? So the English word paroxysm is where it comes from, which means to tremor, to shake. To have a paroxysm is to lose control and shake up. It's to have a spasm or a seizure. All right? And so to stir up means to agitate something into a fervor. All right? I baked a cake one time in my entire life. And to be clear, it worked out pretty well. I got good feedback from my cake, mostly because I can follow instructions usually. All right? But I remember I had a glass bowl. And I put in it was a cake mix, don't give me too much credit. I just poured in the brown powdery cake mix, and it told me to crack some eggs and put this gooey, weird-looking egg stuff in there, and I'm like, I don't know where this is going, but okay. And then it told me to put some oil in there, and I'm like, okay, and then some water. And I'm looking at this, and I'm like, how does that turn into a cake? I mean, can you imagine that concoction, brown powder with some water sitting on top of it, some oil over here, and some yellow eggs with the snotty stuff, right? I'm like, do I even want to eat that? Until I get to the next instruction where it says to beat vigorously for 2 minutes by hand or use a mixer. I'm like, okay. So I start going at it. And sure enough, when you agitate these materials together, they become this really tasty batter that, oh, that's what turns into the cake. You see where I'm going with this? How critical agitation is. Listen, Emmanuel, a lot of us have the ingredients to be missional. We have the powder, we have the eggs, we have the oil, we have the Bible knowledge, we have the equipping, we have the tools, what we need to be missional, knowledge and skills. But listen, Emmanuel, a lot of us having those things lack the necessary agitation of a healthy community group to make it something useful. I can go to Bible study after Bible study after Bible study. I can memorize all kinds of things. I could be super familiar with all kinds of skills. But if I'm not actually mixing those things together and turning it into something useful, something's wrong. And so many of us, we want to be missional. We've put a lot of energy into building skills and habits and content into our lives, and we're still confused. Why am I not effective in mission? And I'm going to argue that maybe, just maybe, what you're missing, if that's you, is the agitation, the ongoing agitation of people you've allowed to be and invited to be close to you, spurring you on to love and good deeds in the day-to-day. I know that's often the case in my life. When I start flagging in my commitment, the difference of me being a disciple maker or not is whether or not the guy I have community with is alongside of me, seeing it and saying so, and modeling for me and exampling for me what it looks like to stay on mission. And remember, he said, you do that in two ways. One, don't neglect meeting together. Now, I know it's easy to use that rightly as a justification for local churches gathering, absolutely. But I gotta believe as you just read your New Testament more and more, he's talking about something bigger than coming together and listening to one joker talk, all right? No, not knocking this, this is massive. This is critical to our spiritual development, to be together, right, as a church. But listen, when you watch these New Testament guys, what they're doing is, in addition, they're digging into one another's lives, not neglecting that. In other words, I'm gonna go so far as say not neglecting community group, a group of people you allow to be close to you, so close that you're stirred up by one another to love and good deeds. And then the positive move is to encourage. So one, don't neglect this call to be in community with one another. But two, when you're in that space, encourage one another. And that word encourage is interesting too. It's parakaleo is the Greek word, which is bigger than just, hey, good job, buddy. That's what we tend to think of with encouragement. The word parakaleo actually means to call someone alongside of you. In other words, while you're going, you pull them alongside, someone who's flagging, someone who's wearing out, or someone who's confused. You put your arm around them, and you bring them alongside with you as you're going, and you strongly exhort them to come with you. That's what the word means in the Greek. To come alongside someone, to bring them alongside with you, which kind of assumes in this context you're moving missionally. And you're not just saying you should, you're saying come with me while we do. Now let's get after it together. That's the word here. So don't neglect meeting together. Don't neglect this call from Jesus to be close to other people. And while you're in that space, call one another, stir one another up to love and good deeds. Agitate in a positive sense. And so if you're taking notes, healthy believers agitate and encourage each other to stay on mission. That's what we do. That word agitate, push out the negative vibe of those people really agitate me and accept it for what it is, like an egg beater, stirring one another up into the fervor of missional focus. Which leads to preservation, practically, specifically. All right, Will, how? What are we going to do? What are some specifics? Well, let's start with Acts 1:8, another familiar verse if you were with us in March. We unpacked this verse. It says this, Jesus says to his disciples, you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, to the end of the earth. This is Christ's call for us, all of us, each of us, and all of us collectively to be his witnesses, to tell our story rooted in Scripture, and played out in our lives what it looks like to be people who are fully convinced that Jesus is Lord and Savior, and we're committed to him, and we are calling others to join us
in that pursuit. And he says, you're my witnesses in Jerusalem, all Judea, Samaria, to the end of the earth. What he's doing is he's laying out this strategy, a really simple strategy for our commission, our call. It looks a little like this chart I'm going to show you. All right? What he's saying is Jerusalem is where you live. This is where he had the conversation with them. And so you're to be my witnesses. You're to testify where you live in Jerusalem. Judea is the region around Jerusalem. Samaria is the region near Jerusalem that no one wants to go to, like Ohio. Right? Right? I can't help it. I can't help it. Right? And then there's the world, right? There's the world, which is overwhelming. Like, this is an overwhelming task, right? And this is what it would look like for us if we were, Jesus was having this conversation with us right now, all right? He would say, you'll be my witnesses. Let me show you the next chart. In Fort Wayne, in Northeast Indiana, in the Midwest, or Ohio, and the world, right? Like that's what you're going to do. That's what I'm going to help you do. And again, that could be overwhelming when you think about it. Like, not just Fort Wayne, but Columbia City too. Detroit, Cleveland, what? And the world? Poland? Yeah. Yeah, we're going to get to. So how do we start? Let me just start you with where Jesus starts you. Square one, if you're overwhelmed, is this. Own your Jerusalem together. As a community group, as a group of people that are on mission, what it begins with is owning your Jerusalem, which isn't just Fort Wayne. It actually is your household. Do you have people in your household that don't know Jesus? Welcome to your Jerusalem. How about your neighborhood and your subdivision? If you go out to this map out here where a lot of us put tags where we live on the map to show it, you'll see we dominate, Emmanuel dominates some subdivisions in southwest Fort Wayne. Welcome to your Jerusalem. I want more flags in those subdivisions. Jesus wants more, right? That's your Jerusalem, the school you go to, the place you work. This is our Jerusalem. And so you start there. You own your Jerusalem. Well, how do I do that, Will? Well, let's talk. Three things you can do. And again, we're starting with square one. I don't want anyone overwhelmed here saying, I can't. Let's start with number one. What you do to own your Jerusalem is you master the gospel message together as a group. You master that. I'll give you a QR code in your notes and on the screen that takes you to this great ministry called the Navigators. They've done an incredible work for the global church in providing free resources that are really simple and straightforward and transferable. This resource is what they call the Gospel Bridge, all right? And it's this cool little graphic that just helps you illustrate, helps you clarify what Scripture speaks to and how Scripture speaks to the gospel, all right? And what it does, it sets you up so that if you have your Bible and you have God's word in your heart and you've got a pen and a napkin, you can clearly help people who have never heard about Jesus understand what God's word says and show that it's rooted in Scripture. Or maybe you run into someone who's just very confused. They've heard a lot of Scripture or they think it's Scripture. This is the kind of tool that will help you get clear and help other people get clear on the gospel. It's one of a bajillion tools. Some people hate this tool and that's fine, right? They want a different approach. Great, go learn that one, right? But what I'm calling you to do as a believer and as a community group is to stir one another up toward clarity on this question. Can I sit down with a person who doesn't know Jesus and show them from Scripture the gospel? All right, this is not a shame environment, because if your answer is no, I'm saying, great, you now have a clear first step. A clear first step to experience more and more life in Christ. Master that gospel message together. Stir one another up. Go after it and pull your brothers and sisters in Christ along. Number two, refine your stories together. All right, maybe you've got the gospel on lock. Awesome. Romans 3:23, 6:23, 5:8, 10:9, and 10. Rock on. Let's go. Okay, well, now let's start talking about refining your testimony. He says, you'll be my witnesses. You'll tell your story, your Jesus, your scripture-rooted Jesus story in such a way that people come to know me. Awesome, cool. Let's figure out how to tell our stories, not in a way that we feel heard, but in a way that the average person can hear and understand and see Jesus instead of me. So how do I do that? Great resource, once again, from the Navigators. One of a bajillion resources out there on that QR code, how to share your personal testimony in three easy steps. Work on that. You see where I'm going, right? Like, this is what it looks like to begin equipping yourself to own your Jerusalem at home, at school, at work, your neighborhood, your school district, the region, one relationship, one conversation at a time. This is how Jesus equips and moves us in that direction. Let me give you a third step to build your top 10 lists together, your top 10 lists.
Let me explain what I mean by that. I'm saying, who are the 10 people that God has put in your space that you're pretty sure don't know Jesus yet? Who are they? Pick five that are easier for you to consider talking to. Pick five long shots, too, that, like, it would have to be a major work of Christ, right? Pick those 10 people, write their names down. That's your top 10 list. And here's what you do with your top 10 list is you start praying for those people regularly. Regularly. Asking God to give you opportunity to talk with them. And then you start building connection if you haven't already. Start building connection. Actually care. Not like strategic connections. Like care about these people. Ask God to give you more and more of a heart for them and begin caring for them in practical ways. And third, you seek to set the goal of initiating a spiritual conversation. Not forcing anything, following the Spirit's lead, but initiating a spiritual conversation about spiritual things with the ultimate goal of pleading with the Lord to give you the right moment, the right chance, and the courage to share the gospel with them. And see what Jesus starts doing when more and more community groups stir one another up within those groups to have and work a top 10 list. You watch, Emmanuel. The Lord's done some incredible things through this church, but you watch what he does when we get deliberate about the basics of our commission and owning our space. But we don't just stop here. We don't just stop here. There's the region, there's the world. And so we lift our eyes up while we're owning our space and we ask the Lord, where would you have me invest regionally? Are there ministries that we as a group can go invest our time, our talent, or our treasure in our region? Are there ministries going on in the world that you're giving some of us or all of us in our community group a passion to support? Maybe to go on a trip together to visit. Maybe we pool our resources to send one of us on a global missions trip. This is what it looks like for community groups to be engaged missionally, to be people who own their Jerusalem as a way of life and who follow God's lead together and spur one another. So some groups, I would argue, are built for and called to as a group attack an initiative in the region or on a global scale. Some groups are diverse, and what they're doing to stir one another up is equipping and sharing resources to send each other to your specific ministries, but always stirring one another up to that end. But if you're taking notes to conclude, listen, we engage in regional and global missions together in community. This is the measure of healthy community, that we own our Jerusalem, and that we engage together in regional and global missions. So the final question I'll leave you with is this. What's one specific step I'm gonna take this week to engage missionally in Christian community? One specific step. Now, you might check your watch and be like, there's no way he's done. There's no way. We got a plan, y'all, because we're not done. In a minute, I'm going to pray, and then we're going to move into worship together, a period of worship. And then we've got two other things lined up to try to help you get your head a little bit more around the practical steps of engaging missionally as individuals in a group. All right, and so I won't get into all of it, but you're gonna see a few things play out today, and we won't be done until our regular time, just so you know, okay? But right now, I just wanna conclude in prayer, and I just wanna just notice that we have a whole lot of educators and family that are about to get busy this week. I believe on Wednesday, our local public school district goes ballistic. Our Christian school here, East Emmanuel Christian School, gets rolling. Teachers, pitchers and catchers have reported for teaching, right? Homeschool families, you're all just gearing up, I get it. So I just wanna take a moment and think missionally and sort of commission all of us, students, as you're fixing to go to the lunchroom Wednesday and sit with your friends or people you don't know. Teachers, as you're rubbing shoulders with new employees at the school or relationships you've been working on for a while, both public schools and here at ECS and other Christian schools. Can we just commission you now in prayer together? Would you join me in prayer? Father, we love you. We're grateful to be a part of people's lives in education, preschool, elementary, high school, homeschool, Christian schools all around, God, Huntington University, and all the incredible staff that are ministering for you, committing their lives to you day after day there. God, we just ask for these educators, for these administrators, for these families, for these students, that you would just help them to see this as their mission field and to be drawn to that, not intimidated, not scared, but actually enticed by this question of what is God willing to do through me if I will simply take a next faithful step today?
Help them to have the courage to have those conversations, to have the eyes to see the needs out there, and to get out of themselves, as we all are challenged to do, and to simply love the way that you do, starting this week, and carry them through what it will be a challenging school year like they always are. Carry them with your grace, remind them of your love, and your affection, and your power, and your presence in their lives. God, we commission them all to you today. In Jesus' name, all God's people said, amen.
Good morning, I'm Anna Edgar. I'm the Director of Missions here at Emmanuel, and we are excited today to have Chris and Kelly Lilpop with us. Perhaps these are familiar faces for you as they have been serving with us, worshiping with us for the past 5 years. But we didn't actually connect with Chris and Kelly here. We actually met them when they were serving with Josiah Venture in Poland. And so it was a wonderful thing when they chose to move to the States and serve with JV and attend our church. So it's been a joy to have them with us. We actually have a great partnership with Josiah Venture. We get to support the Lilpops, the Loeffler family, and the Miller family. And through that, we've been able to send teams to serve with English camps and a family camp. And so it's been really exciting. But today, we actually are looking at the Lilpops, seeing that in a week, we're going to lose them because they're going back to Poland. So why did you decide to leave us when I think we've had a good experience together?
Definitely. It's definitely been a joy to be a part of ECC. But Jesus Christ is our greatest hope for salvation and for life. And we're moving to a part of the world where less than 1% of people have that hope and know Christ. So we want to live in Poland and see a movement of God among the youth of Central and Eastern Europe that finds its home in local churches there and transforms society. We're working towards equipping young leaders to fulfill Christ's commission.
I love that. Of course, we have to be in agreement with that. So although it's a sad loss to us that you're leaving, I know JV is excited to receive you there. So what roles will you take on as you return this time?
Yeah, so we're going to be living in Poland, but Josiah Venture, we have staff in 16 countries, all in Central and Eastern Europe. And a lot of these staff are young leaders themselves. They've met Christ through ministries connected with Josiah Venture, through churches, and they've grown up in their faith, and now they're in their 20s, and they've stepped out as full-time missionaries in their own country. So we're going to provide resources and equipping for them so that they can have perseverance in ministry and thrive in ministry and be effective ministers of the gospel. And besides serving our JV staff, we're also going to be rooted in a local church, living on mission, trying to do what we heard today of making disciples who are making other disciples. So pray for us in that as we do the same as you're doing here.
I love that. So I know that it's been exciting to watch you serve here with us, and you've served there, and we've talked about missional living. Can you talk about anything else that you're like, this is how we feel like we embody this missional idea wherever we are?
Yeah, I'd say one of the things I would encourage you with is develop your observation skills, observing who's in the room, who's around you, who's maybe hovering or hanging around, whether that's neighbors or different people at work, or what's God doing in you, and how you can engage that with others.
And I would just add that God already knows your faults and your shortcomings. He's factored those in. So we can go to Poland confident that God is covering all of our shortcomings with his grace. And as we step out on mission, no matter where it is, we know that God is greater than it all, and he wants us to be a part of his plan.
He does. So today we say our goodbyes, so make sure you say a goodbye or see you later to them after service. But before they go, we would love to pray for them as a church. So we've invited Chris's parents on stage today and some of our mission leaders to pray. So we'll be putting our hands on them, but if you want to extend your hand towards them, please just join us in prayer as we cover them in their going. God, we have been blessed to walk alongside Chris and Kelly for the last 6 years, Lord, to have supported them in Poland and to now have them with us. It's been a joy. And Lord, as they return with an obedient yes to serve you in Poland, we just ask that they would so strongly sense your presence and just see the ways you're working around them, Lord. I know that they are going because they want to see your name glorified in Poland. So we ask, Lord, that in the logistics of the moving, of shipping a crate of belongings, of finding a home to live in, of picking where they'll raise sweet Melody, their daughter, Lord, all these things that they question, we thank you that you have a plan, and we ask for patience in the waiting for them, and that you would just give them your peace that passes all understanding. And as a church, God, would you help us to know how to love, support, and send them well. May they feel covered, not just in your spirit, but also in our prayers and our support. God, we just praise you and ask that you'd be glorified in Poland through their going. And we pray this in your name. Amen.
Well, praise the Lord. Amen. Local, global. This is the call. This is a call for us, Emmanuel. God's been faithful for years and years here, and I'm just praying for more. But we're not done. We got one more thing for you, and it actually is going to not happen in this room here in the worship center. If you're in the FLC, good news, you're already where we're trying to send everybody. All right? So if you're in this room here with me, my call to you is here in just a minute, as we dismiss you from your chair, that you recognize that the worship service isn't over. We will not be dismissing children until the normal time, so you're free to just be you. But at the normal time, please go pick up your kids. All right, for the sake of our word, for the sake of our people, right? What I'm doing is I'm encouraging you to head over to the FLC, where you're going to find an opportunity to worship by meeting people from different organizations in our region who are doing really cool ministry. All right, this doesn't represent everybody that we are connected with here at Emmanuel. And so if your ministry isn't over there that you're already committed to, don't worry. The call to you is double down where you are and invite others to join you there. But if you need a place to connect, to get on mission as an individual, or better, as a community group, to spur one another on to, I'd encourage you to check out your notes. In your notes, you're going to see a list of all the ministries over there. All right, and to just take a minute and say, which one of these ministries might God call me, push me, prod me to go have a conversation with? And you're going to find people who are awesome, who came here today to have a conversation with you, who can give you information, and you'll have the opportunity to sign up any way that you want. You can also connect with these ministries on our website. If you're joining us online, you can download our notes from wherever the page you're watching from, get information on those ministries, and you can actually connect digitally to have that conversation as well. But that's your call to application, is to join me. As soon as I'm done, I'm going to walk over there. I'm going to ask you to join me over there and have a conversation with people in that room. Make sense? This is your spiritual service of worship today, is to have that conversation. And so, Emmanuel, with that in mind, you're dismissed.